Today we're talking about the scripture reading from the Gospel of Mark about the widow who offers all that she has, two little coins, into the temple collection box. Maybe you've heard this story before. Often it's called the story of the widow's mites. The mites are the two little coins. And often, if you've heard the story before, you've heard that the moral of the story is be like this widow who gives everything she has over to God. Well, I'm going to propose to you today that that, in fact, is not the moral of the story. And I ask you and invite you to just hear me out for a moment. So here's a bit of a background. Here's the context of the story. This story takes place in the last week of Jesus's life. On Sunday, Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. Palm branches were waved. He was hailed into town as a king. This story about the widow giving her two coins, that takes place on Tuesday. So they are in Jerusalem. They are at the temple. Jesus and his friends, who are the disciples, they're at the temple, which is the main hub of Judaism, of the Jewish religion at that time, for the nation of Israel. They called themselves the Israelites. And so Jesus sits down with his friends, the disciples, and they watch as people put money into the collection box for the temple. And many rich people came in and they gave money out of their wealth and their abundance. And then Jesus points out the widow who gives two little coins worth a penny, and he points her out. Notice the scripture does not actually have Jesus praising her. He's more just pointing her out. So what is Jesus, what's his purpose in highlighting what this widow is doing? We need to zoom out a little bit and get even more context of the story. You see, the widow, she was very poor. Widows were vulnerable in this society. It was a patriarchal society, and widows relied on the care of others. So this woman with her two coins, that was all that she had, the amount of money she gave, a penny's worth, it says, was actually 1/64th of a day's wage. Meaning in our today's day and age, it might amount to about $2.50. And scripture says that was all she had to live on. That $2.50 was her entire bank account. She was completely impoverished. And something else we need to know about this society at this time is that God commanded over and over and over again in their religious law, in what we call the Old Testament, in the Hebrew scriptures, that the main job of the leaders of Israel was to care for the vulnerable, specifically the widows. And this woman is so poor that literally all she has is $2.50. That's an indictment of the leadership of the religious system of the day. And if we back up just a moment earlier, it says, you scribes are devouring the widows' houses. So who were the scribes? The scribes were the teachers of the religious law. The scribes were the ones who were in charge, who were supposed to be helping this poor widow out. And they have not done their job. Instead, Jesus says in this reading for today, beware of those scribes. They are walking around in fancy, expensive long robes, fancy clothing. Expensive. They were getting the best seats at the synagogue, the most places of honor at the banquets. They were self-important with their long-winded prayers, and they were devouring the widows' houses. And he's referencing a practice at the time where religious leaders would pretend to so-called manage a widow's affair, because she was vulnerable in a patriarchal society, manage her affairs, and then ultimately cheat her out of her property. Jesus is angry at the scribes. And what he has to say in pointing this out, the treatment of the widow, is an echo of something we see in Hebrew scriptures from Ezekiel, where it says, woe to you, you shepherds of Israel, who are feeding yourselves. You should be feeding the sheep, but instead you eat the fat and you clothe yourself with their wool. The scribes and the other religious leaders were the shepherds of a nation called Israel, and they were supposed to care for the most vulnerable among them, and they weren't doing it. And so Jesus is pointing out a broken and oppressive religious system. And it's one of his main agendas as he actually came into town. Jerusalem, the hub of the Jewish religion at the time, the hub of Israeli worship. They worshiped God there at the temple. And backing up a day, so this story takes place on Tuesday. The day before, Monday, what did Jesus do? He went straight to the temple after arriving the day before. He went to that temple and he flipped the tables over and he said, where they were exchanging money and selling and buying, and he said, this is a den of robbers. It's supposed to be a house of worship. It is a den of robbers. So today's whole story is an indictment of an oppressive religious system that did not care for the poor and the vulnerable among them. And Jesus' heart breaks at a religious system that has lost its way, at his own beloved society that has lost its way and lost its moral center. Well, we live in a time where there is no doubt, regardless of your political affiliation, we live in a time where our society seems to have lost its way. Hatred and division is absolutely everywhere. It was everywhere prior to this election and has only grown since. And there are many who are afraid, and we wonder what next and what now? How do we move forward collectively as community in this kind of society, in this world? Once again, Jesus points a way forward. Earlier today, on Tuesday, the day of the scripture story, Jesus had a conversation with a different scribe, a teacher of the law, who came up to him and said, of all of our religious rules, Jesus, of everything that we do as a society, all the rules we live by, what's the most important? And Jesus was very clear. He gives clarity to the scribe and he gives clarity to us. And Jesus says, you love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. And you love your neighbor as yourself. If you have done these things, you have done it all, and you have pleased God. And so that is a call out to us too. When we wonder, where do we go? What next? We can remember the words that there's a Christian theologian named Henry Nouwen. And he said that those who choose to love in whatever small way, in the midst of hatred and fear, those are the people who bring true hope to the world. No matter what swirls around us, what darkness is in place, our call and our hope is to continue to love. We love with our words and we love with our actions. And it always, we say, what would Jesus do? Because Jesus came to this earth to teach us, as God in the flesh, who God is. And we see a beautiful picture of God in our first reading for today, which is Psalm 146. And it speaks of a God who is everlasting and a God who executes justice for the oppressed, who sets the prisoner free, who gives sight to those who are blind, who feeds the hungry, and who cares for the orphan and the foreigner and the widow. God loves the most vulnerable among us. God places priority on our care for each other and the well-being of the whole community. And Jesus, as God in the flesh, came to this earth and he died on the cross. And we remember that he died for the widow, but he also died for the scribe. Jesus died for the oppressed, but he also died for the oppressor. Because Jesus died for the world to bring a new life and a new hope grounded in love for the whole world. Jesus isn't done with this world yet. and he calls us to partner with him in his mission. You see, when Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River at the beginning, before he even started his ministry, these words came from heaven that said, "You are my son. In you I am well pleased." And these words were a mashup of two pieces of Hebrew or Old Testament scripture which proclaimed an anointing, a proclaiming of this is God's beloved child anointed as king. And also it was a commissioning for service. And when you and I were baptized, it's the same. We are called God's child. We are named and claimed as one who belongs to God forever. That identity never, ever, ever goes away. But that call on our lives comes with a commissioning, with a sending to be the light and to the hope. To be the ones, as Henry Nouwen says, who are the ones who live and choose to love, even in small ways, in order that we might bring hope to a world where there is great darkness. We are beacons of light. It is our identity. The light lives in us, and the light lives through us. And that is always the way forward, and it is always an eternal, eternal truth. Thanks be to God. Amen.